And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And what happened? Well, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave under her. Now here, I think you have the example of that which is genuine repentance and that which is not genuine repentance. A great many people think repentance means shedding tears. Well, they lifted up their voice and wept again. Orpah could shed as many tears as Ruth did. Probably her handkerchief was damper. I think it was. But notice what happened. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. She's quite emotional. But Ruth clave unto her. Now, this is the difference between that which is false repentance and that which is genuine repentance. Now, repentance is not shedding tears. The word means to change your mind. Metanoia means a change of mind. It may involve tears as a byproduct, but weeping is not the salvation at all, or not turning to God. A great many people are very emotional, but doesn't mean anything. They can shed tears, but it doesn't mean they've really repented. My dad used to tell about a steamboat on the Mississippi River in the early days. It had a little bitty boiler, had a great big whistle. And when it was going upstream, when it'd blow the whistle, it'd start drifting downstream because it couldn't blow the whistle and go at the same time. Now, a lot of people today, they have a big whistle. They can really weep. They can make a noise, but they don't have much power, and it doesn't mean a thing. Now, Orpah, she wept, and she kissed her mother-in-law, but didn't mean anything. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7:10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." I have a friend, he's an evangelist. He loves to get people to cry. He thinks if they weep, that's it. That's real repentance. He likes to get them down front weeping. Well, may I say to you that I kid him about it. I said, "How many tears do you have to shed before you really are saved?" Now he says to me, he says, "McGee," he says, "don't be absurd." I said, "I'm not being absurd. You're being absurd. You say you got to shed tears." Now I think that we ought to know how many you should shed. If a dozen tears are required in order to really be saved, then, my friend, when you've shed 11 tears, you better squeeze out that 12th one or you won't make it. Oh, he said, "That's absurd." I said, "Sure it's absurd, but who's being absurd? You say you got to shed tears." Now, repentance means a new direction. It means to turn around, go in the opposite direction. And I believe that today all the repentance that's required is in faith, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul told the Philippian jailer. And then Paul could write to the Thessalonians and say, "How ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven." Now, Paul came and preached Christ, and these people were going to temples of idolatry. They turned to Christ. Now, turning to Christ is faith. Turning from the idols is repentance. And somebody says, which comes first and which is more important? You can argue that all you want to, but I can't turn the front of my hand without turning the back of my hand. And when you turn to Christ, friends, you've turned from something. And if you haven't turned from something, you didn't turn to him. And the turning from is the repentance. So that what we have here is this girl, Orpah, she kissed her mother-in-law, and she walks off of the page of Scripture back into the silence of the centuries. We never hear of her again. We assume that she went back to her people and to her gods, and that she married among her own people. We never hear of her again, but Ruth clave unto a mother-in-law. Now, notice what this involved. She said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law's gone back unto her people and unto her gods." You see, she went back to idolatry. Her repentance was no good at all. It was a marriage of convenience. She liked the boy, and she married him. But why in the world did she do it? Now, we're going to find out Ruth had another motive in view. And now, this is the thing that Naomi, Mary Sunshine, says to Ruth, return thou after thy sister-in-law. You go back with her. And listen to Ruth now. This is real repentance. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. Now she makes this decision. There are 7 points in this decision. They're very important. I use in a double ring ceremony, I've always used for the woman part of these statements, and I think it's lovely. Notice this. Number one, for whither thou goest, I will go. That's the decision she made. She says, where you go, Naomi, I'm going with you. And number two, where thou lodgest, I will lodge. I'm just not using you as a convenience to get back in that land. I'm going to stick with you. And if it means poverty, I'll bear the poverty. And three, thy people shall be my people. You say I'll be ostracized, but I've turned to that land, and your people will be my people, whether they accept me or not. And then the fourth thing, and thy God, my God. Now I can answer a question which I couldn't answer for the last time. Why would these two girls, why did Orpah, the athletic girl, marry a fella that's puny and unhealthy? And why did Ruth, the lovely person that she did? Now I can answer her. She married him because when that family moved in the neighborhood in the land of Moab, she was in dark idolatry, and she was in the depths of paganism. And she met this family and found out they knew the living and true God, and through them she turned to God. That softened her heart, and she married the boy when he proposed, you see. And so it's thy God, my God. She made a decision for God, and she's not going back on it. Notice verse 17, where thou diest, will I die. That's her fifth decision she made. And that's very important. That meant that the hope that these people had, we saw that in Genesis, that Jacob wanted to be buried in that land. Joseph wanted his bones taken up in that land. And why? Because the future for these people will be a resurrection in that land someday for the kingdom of heaven that'll be established here on this earth. And that's Ruth's hope, by the way. She says, where thou diest will I die. And she says, and there will I be buried. That's the sixth. She says, I want to be buried in that land. She had a hope of the resurrection. She didn't have that in idolatry. And then she says, the Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. That's the seventh. What a wonderful decision that she's made. And Naomi knows Ruth by this time, and she knows when she makes up her mind, she's going through with it. So what happens, verse 18, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem,